The trial against movie mogul Harvey Weinstein in New York continues this week. Weinstein is charged with several counts of rape and sexual assault. Yesterday, a sixth woman testified against Weinstein, and her testimony is expected to be the last before the district attorney's office rests its case. James Quigley has been covering this for the LA Times, and he joins us now. And a warning, this conversation may be difficult for some listeners as it includes details of sexual assault. James, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, James, you were at Monday's trial, and you've been covering this hearing since day one. What's the latest there?
So the last two major developments, Monday was a big day. Jessica Mann, who was the only accuser whose allegations resulted in criminal charges in New York, whose story hadn't been told publicly. It was her second day on the stand, and it was kind of a very sad scene in court. She became overwhelmed on cross-examination, broke down crying, and ultimately was not able to continue. They had to end court for the day. She's actually now off the stand as of Wednesday, but it was 3 days of her testifying, two of them spent on cross-examination, which was obviously very difficult for her to deal with the defense kind of attacking her story. Wednesday, Lauren Young, who was the last accuser to testify and a woman whose accusations have led to criminal charges against Weinstein in Los Angeles, is now testifying.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Jessica Mann's relationship with Weinstein?
Sure. So Jessica has alleged that Weinstein sexually assaulted her twice, but that was in the context of what she described as a consensual relationship. She met him in Los Angeles in either late 2012 or early 2013. The timeline is a little murky. When she was an aspiring actress, you know, she grew up doing theater in the Pacific Northwest, had been kind of struggling to make it, moved to LA. She meets Weinstein and he starts to talk to her about possible roles, specifically mentions there's a vampire film that she might be perfect for. So they meet, they have a couple of hotel meetings, and the story kind of starts to mirror some of these other allegations against Weinstein, that he met her under the pretense of business, and then the issue turned to something more sexual. He asked for a massage, which she did not want, and then there was a second meeting where she thought having a friend in the room would kind of prevent the situation from turning into a more personal lurid one. It did not. She accused him of forcing himself on her in some manner during that meeting. But as she testified, despite the fact that she was not, in her own words, sexually attracted to him, she did feel some kind of compassion for him and decided to continue to have some consensual sexual encounters with him. This boils over in New York in 2013 when she is in town trying to arrange a business meeting between Weinstein and a friend of hers who's working as an agent in Hollywood. They were supposed to have a breakfast meeting. Weinstein arrives at the hotel early and books himself into a room. Jessica, by her own testimony, believed that he was trying to engage a sexual encounter, which she did not want. They get into an argument. They wind up in the hotel room, and that is when she accuses him of a violent sexual assault, which resulted in the criminal charges in New York. The defense has continued to try to undercut this story by bringing up emails that went on for years after this between them that seemed to indicate a loving relationship. He did help her get a job at a hair salon later back in LA. So the defense is obviously arguing that, you know, this assault did not happen the way she described it in court.
Right, right. You've written about the parallels of this trial and that of comedian Bill Cosby. Can you say more?
Right. So there are a few through lines that mirror the two cases. One of the issues that prosecutors had to overcome in Cosby and will have to overcome here, the time element. I believe in the Cosby case, he was tried in 2018 for an assault that was described to have happened in the early 2000s. Here, you have some assaults described more than 25 years prior to the date that this trial began. So they're trying to overcome the, you know, a lot of issues as to the, at least what the defense is saying, you know, why did these women not report earlier? Why didn't they tell anybody in some cases? Why did they wait to come forward till now? Obviously, the Me Too movement is brought up often in court, and the defense has hinted in at least pre-trial interviews that they want to go after the idea that these women only came forward because they were swept up in the movement. At the same time, they've also got to overcome the defendant's physical appearance. In the Cosby trial, you know, the comedian went on to make a claim that he had lost his eyesight not long before, I believe, jury selection began there. Here, Weinstein had a spinal decompression surgery in December, which is about a month before jury selection, which has left him needing a walker. In days in court when he has not appeared with a walker, he has appeared that he could not physically stand up on his own 2 feet. I saw him being helped, more or less dragged by one of his either attorneys or helpers into court on the day of opening statements. And in both cases, you had multiple what are called prior bad acts witnesses, women coming in to testify about other instances of possible sexual assault, misconduct, harassment involving Weinstein that were, you know, either happened in a different jurisdiction or happened too long ago to be prosecuted. Mm-hmm. But it obviously helps the prosecution try to establish a pattern of what this, you know, person's modus operandi would be as a sexual predator.
Yeah. And speaking of those witnesses and what their testimony brings, Sopranos actress Annabella Sciorra did confront Weinstein from the witness stand, testifying that the movie mogul raped and sexually assaulted her back in the mid-1990s. There seems to be a lot of evidence, but you kind of alluded to this just now. Those women also had relationships with Weinstein, so it's not necessarily a cut-and-dry case of rape as society knows that definition to be. Do you feel that in any way this is a hindrance to the prosecution?
I mean, it's certainly another obstacle they have to overcome because, like you said, the general public perception of sexual assault, and this has been brought up on the stand, is a stranger in an alleyway or, you know, a violent assault from somebody you don't know. And that's not necessarily true. Much like, you know, homicides, it's quite often that a assailant and a victim will know each other in a manner of, in a case of sexual assault. And that's the case in almost, at least in this case, rather, at least in the six women who have taken the stand, that's the case for most of them, that the women knew Weinstein either through Hollywood circles or stayed in touch with him after because they worked in the industry. Annabella knew him through Hollywood leading up to the date of the assault. Her case is a little different from the other two charge cases here because while they do have interactions afterward, there is not evidence of continued cordial emails or her putting up a friendly front as there might be in the case of some of these other women. She mostly describes him as harassing, stalking, and otherwise driving her up a wall after the date of the alleged assault. So her case is a little bit more narrowly defined, at least in what the public would think of as the relationship between a alleged sexual assault victim and an alleged assailant in one of those cases. But the other ones, yeah, you're right. Mimi Hallay and Jessica Mann, they kept up contact with him long after the dates of the alleged assaults. And, you know, it kind of comes down to the defense and the prosecution having to make their best case to the jury as to why that was.
That's James Quealy with the LA Times. James, thank you so much.
Thank you.